You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I don't kiss men.
The Wire.
But I kissed him.
Why do you believe that President Trump has begun to cozy up with Putin and took a 180 turn on supporting Ukraine?
Well, that's not that surprising, given that Mr. Trump has always had a soft spot for President Putin. In 2018, when Trump was president, he actually sided with Trump against US intelligence. US intelligence had charged that the Russians had interfered in the 2016 election. And he met Putin in Helsinki. He was asked a question in a live press conference with Putin whether he actually believed that Mr. Putin had interfered. And he consulted with Putin and said he believed Putin and basically disbelieved his own intelligence services. So that was remarkable. He has strong loyalty to Mr. Putin. We don't know why. Russia has an economy of about Spain size. It's not a superpower, but it has invaded a neighbor. And he's now demonstrating his loyalty by trying to negotiate a peace deal on Putin's term, having after Putin had invaded, first of all, annexed Crimea in 2014, and then it illegally invaded Ukraine and seized 20% of Ukraine. And Mr. Trump is now trying to, his idea of a peace initiative is to bring to peace to Ukraine, but allow Mr. Putin to keep the spoils of his invasion.
Right. What implications does this move have on international order and security?
Very destabilizing, and it's very bad news for small and middle powers. If there is a peace deal in which Zelensky is forced to negotiate by Trump and Putin and concede 20% of his country to Russia, that means aggression has been rewarded. It will be a slap in the face for international law, and it will create a very bad precedent. And indeed, it will probably embolden China and threaten our security in the Indo-Pacific. Why? Because China's a big backer of Mr. Putin and his regime, and they Chinese are likely to interpret Mr. Trump's support for Putin as weakness. After all, America is the most powerful country in the world. Why is it not simply doing the obvious thing, demanding that Putin withdraw his troops to Russia and end war in 12 hours? Putin can end this war within 12 hours. He simply has to take his troops out of a neighboring country and take them back to the internationally recognized borders of Russia.
What implications does the change signal for New Zealand, especially in regards to AUKUS?
Let's be clear, the implications are mixed. On the one hand, I've already mentioned that China may be emboldened by any peace deal in which Mr. Putin's aggression is rewarded. They may see that as the green light to put additional pressure on Taiwan, in fact, step up its activities in the Pacific Island nation states, where New Zealand has a key state. We've already seen tensions between China and New Zealand over the Cook Islands. If international law is not observed, if Mr. Putin's troops are not removed from Ukraine, that could embolden an authoritarian state like China. What does it mean for AUKUS? I don't think it will mean that New Zealand signs Pillar 2 of AUKUS. Why would it? After all, Mr. Trump is acting in a way which we totally disagree with. Mr. Luxon was very quick to say that the scenes from the Oval Office where Vance and Trump were berating President Zelensky were a tough watch, and New Zealand immediately expressed its solidarity after that debacle with Ukraine. So New Zealand does not accept Trump's position. So the other thing is that the Trump administration is imposing tariffs against very good friends of New Zealand. Canada is a very close ally of this country and has been for many years. And while we haven't spoken out publicly about it, there's no doubt that the New Zealand government is very uncomfortable with Trump's approach to Gaza, where he wants to own it, or that's his recommendation. He wants to take over Canada, and he's imposed 25% tariffs there. He wants to take over the Panama Canal, and he wants to take over Greenland. We don't approve of any of those things, so why would we want to join AUKUS, of which Mr. Trump would be the most important state? In short, we may well have given more serious consideration to joining Pillar 2 of AUKUS had Kamala Harris won the election. But with Mr. Trump in the White House, with a different value system to that of most of the Kiwis, I don't think it's politically feasible to expect us to join Pillar 2.
In your opinion, why has President Trump begun to get closer with billionaires such as Elon Musk, Bezos and Bill Gates?
It's a shrewd move politically. these people, American politics is dominated by money, private money. And let's face it, the alliance between Musk and Trump was very successful. Trump owns his own social media network, Truth Social, and Musk owns X, what used to be called Twitter. So that means that the combination of Trump and Musk gives them quite a big share of the social media market. And that's influential in terms of politics. I think the other thing is that Mr. Trump has always had a top-down view of the way society should be run. He was born into an incredibly wealthy family. He's never had a job interview. He's never had to. He was born into a family business, the Trump Real Estate family, Trump Organization. So I think there are practical reasons. To be successful in politics in the United States, you need financial support. And therefore, he also pursues a right-wing agenda, which many billionaires like, particularly low taxation for people with lots of money. And thirdly, I think his whole ideology of America first also appeals to them. So I think there are practical and political reasons why Trump has, in a sense, looked to billionaires like Peter Thiel. He's a great backer of Vance, the vice president. And also you mentioned Elon Musk. Even Jeff Bezos, the chap who owns the Washington Post, is also head of Amazon. He's also made his peace with Mr. Trump, as have the chap Zuckerberg, who's head of Facebook. Why have the billionaires coalescing around him? I think billionaires always like to be on good terms, whoever's president, and they quite like Mr. Trump's policies. They think that Mr. Trump will make no attempt to regulate their media platforms, which he won't, and they also believe that Mr. Trump will support their interests globally.
And one final question. Since 1963, a concept for the Ben-Gurion Canal has been established by Israel as a competitor for the Suez Canal. The proposed route takes the canal through the central Gaza Strip. Recent videos and comments by Trump indicate that they want to own it. Could the proposed Ben-Gurion Canal have any relation to that?
I wasn't aware of that. That's interesting. I mean, I was aware that Israel had that aspiration. I wasn't aware that it seemed to be gaining momentum. I think the problem for these plans for Gaza is that there's 2 million Palestinians living there who are going to go nowhere. And the United States, I know that Mr. Trump has visions of playing a key commercial role, but that will involve in expelling the people who live in that territory. I don't think the rest of the Middle East will accept that. Saudi Arabia made it quite clear to the United States that the Palestinians must have a state of their own and they must be based in Gaza, East Jerusalem and the West Bank. Israel does not, under its current leadership, doesn't entertain the idea of a Palestinian state. But militarily, they can't extinguish the idea. And so I think all these plans, like an alternative canal, they may sound great in theory, but in practice, you need stability to do that. There's not going to be stability in the West Bank and the Gaza until there's a recognition that the Palestinians have a right to self-determination.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.